Oh God, liberate us in your truth. Amen. I noticed it was a bit awkward on Ash Wednesday when we met for the service and said, hi, happy Ash Wednesday, happy Lent. What do you say for a season that starts like this? This is not, for many of us, as you've told it to me already, not our favorite season. And it is especially not our favorite season after 2 years of a pandemic. Feels like one long Lent. And now we're capping it with this awful human catastrophe and tragedy in Ukraine that affects in waves all of us. But what if I told you we're looking at Lent upside down, that it is actually one of the most compelling and focusing seasons that is full of light and hope and promise, that it could lead us toward light in powerful ways? Let's see if we can get there through the scripture today. So in the gospel reading today, Jesus is, this is important, where he starts at the Jordan River, just baptized, full of the Spirit, you are my beloved, ringing in his ears. And it's the Spirit that leads him into the wilderness in this version. In another version, he drives him out into the wilderness. And there he is tempted. Of course he is. That's what always happens when we hear our vocation, when we know who we are. Everything else pulls us off of that. And while Jesus' three temptations might look pretty exotic to us at first, turn these loaves, these stones into loaves of bread, they are really right at our back door. They're the kind of things that are with us all the time. Henry Nouwen, the great 20th century spiritual teacher, said and framed them this way. He said, the three temptations are to be relevant, turn these stones into bread, give us what we want right now, to be spectacular, to jump from the pinnacle of the temple and get caught, to be powerful. All this dominion is yours if you take it from my hand, the devil says. Now, Henry Nouwen had been a very relevant, spectacular, and powerful person in his world. He was a teacher for 30 plus years at Notre Dame and Harvard and Yale. But then he took this very interesting, crazy, sharp turn and joined a community called Daybreak, which was a community for severely autistic and disabled people in Canada, part of the LARCH community network, as their chaplain. He stepped into a world where nothing he had built his life on did anything for him. His prestige, his reputation, all the things that he was and thought he was. And what he learned that instead of a kind of immediate relevance, he needed to cultivate the kind of prayer of presence, to be tapped into something that was much deeper than the immediately relevant. That instead of being spectacular, the celebrity culture that he was surfing on, he needed to find a kind of solidarity in community at the very most basic level. And that instead of being powerful, he needed to find that through intimacy and vulnerability with this community that he shared his days with. Relevance, spectacularity, and power were the temptation. The prayer of practicing the presence, solidarity in community, and intimacy through vulnerability, that was the calling of Jesus, of us when we follow. And Jesus meets and defeats his temptation in a very particular way. We see it actually amplified in the first reading that might at first not seem to have anything to do with Lent, this kind of covenant renewal ceremony, but it is the core of the core of the core And that's what Jesus rooted himself in. So we're looking at the story where the Israelites cross into the promised land. And as they do, they have a ritual of giving the first of their harvest. And when they give it, they recite this long litany that starts with, you know, we are passing pilgrims on the earth. The wandering Aramean was my ancestor. And then just keeps telling all the things God has done. God has done it all. It's this litany of total dependence, total belonging, and total offering that was the core creed of faith. And that's what Jesus falls back on and claims as his identity and vocation. He essentially just quotes scripture from the passages right around that story in Deuteronomy and says what everyone knew, just recited the basics and didn't use any of his own exotic heroic force. And lo and behold, that temptation set of relevance and spectacularity and power just loses its glitter, just shows itself to be tinfoil. Nothing rooted there. Think about it. Relevance, spectacularity, and power, that is the stock in trade of every influencer on Instagram or every other social media network. That is what gets people into political office and keeps them there. We praise it. I'm not pointing a finger except at us. We do this. We buy it. We drink it. We sell it. That's life. That's what we're all leaning toward and aiming for. And it makes us miserable. And when it's in the hands of an autocrat or a dictator or a despot, as we have seen multiple times and are frozen with right now, it makes the whole world miserable. It doesn't work, ever. It is a temptation. And it brings us to this point for us of which way do we go? This is a very radical alternative option to live with prayer and community solidarity and vulnerability through intimacy at the core of our work, saying that's where the power is. But Lent is really for that, and that is liberation. Lent is for liberation. So here's a story. This is the first week of 1998, first week of Lent, and I was driving a U-Haul truck up to the back door of a monastery in Boston that I intended to join. And I just arrived in time for the community Eucharist, so I literally jumped out of the truck and ran around the fence and came in the chapel front door and sat down. I was terrified. I was excited, but I had vertigo. What have I done? This is for real. I've just given up everything. I had sold my house. I had liquidated my assets. And as I sat there, I was kind of just in numb shock until we got to the offertory hymn. And it was a hymn I had never heard before, and it was kind of quirky. And then when we started singing the words, they were even odder still. First verse. Now quit your care and anxious fear and worry, for schemes are vain and fretting brings no gain. Lent calls to prayer, to trust and dedication. God brings new beauty nigh. Reply. Reply with love to love most high. Like, this was the Episcopal hymnal. Like, I didn't know that this kind of stuff was in this. It was spoken to me. And it was not what I was expecting to hear about Lent. Second verse. To bow the head in sackcloth and ashes, to rend the soul, such grief is not Lent's goal. But to be led to where God's glory flashes, God's beauty to come near. make clear where truth and light appear. We're going to sing this at the offertory. You're going to have a chance to sing it. The verses keep unfolding this beautiful path of faithfulness and kind of discipline that makes your heart sing. And the last stanza is, arise, arise and make a paradise. That's what Lent is for. I was left kind of staggering with hope and a sense of a renewed call. And that whole 7 years was sort of a boot camp in the wilderness of seeing how temptations to be relevant, spectacular, and powerful just weren't going to work. And we're constantly being exposed for what they were and in an environment to replace them with this prayer of presence, this solidarity and community, and this intimacy through vulnerability, which was always an invitation. That temptation and that invitation is always ours in every moment, in every season. It comes to us every day. Now quit your care and anxious worry. Arise and make a paradise. We can only do this as Jesus did when we root our identity in this total dependence in God, this trust in God's love and care and leading and support and strength and power, and just listen into that, and then action comes out of it. That's a different kind of action. So as we walk through Lent this year, let it be, as the Orthodox say, bright Lent to you all. Don't spend too much time worrying about the temptations. That just gives them more power. Just step away from the bait and root down. They're only pointers to our true vocation, which is to be loved and to build the world in love. That's it. But that's a lot. And if we do that, and as we do that together, then it already is and always will be Easter.